The Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charles, the host for the Barbershop Podcast. I hope that everyone has had a good evening. I hope that you've had a productive first half of the week. And hopefully the new year is starting off right for you. I didn't intend to speak about the particular issue that I am going to mention tonight. I just figured there are enough people talking. We don't have to add another person to the conversation. But, you know, guys, I think sometimes there needs to be a level of sensibility involved. And it seems that there are a lot of people who are very emotive about this particular topic. And, well, it's great to have some feelings and emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should also be able to work through those things. And I think that's where we're having trouble. So tonight, I'm just going to talk to you guys, my audience, a little bit about some experiences that I've had. And try to work through some of this stuff as a man, because I just don't really know if we're ready to do it yet. Everybody's familiar with the Me Too movement. Some of us have been familiar with it, or at least some of us were familiar with it before Hollywood jumped on it. And you know, if you were familiar with it beforehand, kudos to you. Awesome. It's very good that you have that level of awareness. You know, I've seen a lot of men express some concerns about what this movement would mean for them. If they would be targeted even though they were innocent, was this a witch hunt? And, you know, was it a power play and things like that? And we could have those discussions, but that's not the particular discussion that I want to have with you tonight. I want to share an experience with you just to show you how complicated this whole thing really is. At one point, I used to be in retail. I was an executive manager for a retail company in the United States, and you know, I was over quite a few people, and I developed, you know, a knack for being able to help people turn the corner. I used my training in psychology and counseling and human development to help people improve upon themselves, to become their better selves. And so I was asked by my former boss to take on an individual who had become problematic in another area. And though I was reluctant to do so, I felt some alliance. I felt that my relationship with my boss was good enough that we would, you know, we'd be able to work this thing out together. And so, no, I didn't really want to tell him no. I also felt pressured that, you know, pressured into taking him. And I didn't really think that it warranted the guy's dismissal. You know, I didn't know much about him, but I figured, well, if I've been able to help a few other people, let me see if I can help this guy out. And, you know, months passed. He's working for me. I stepped away from the store for a time. I was traveling, and while I was away, I received notification that the manager used some racial slurs, used some derogatory words toward individuals who were shopping in the store. In addition to the things that he said about the customers who were shopping in the store, I was also told that he said something of an improper sexual nature to another manager of mine, and that he also rested his head on her chest. And these things were documented. When I got back to my... When I got back to my location, I had to conduct an investigation and then pass along my findings to my boss. And he came in and did an investigation of his own and contacted HR and got other people involved. And, you know, this thing continued. The manager who it was alleged that he had, you know, said these things and done these things was away at the time. And so they couldn't exactly deal with him at that moment. But when he came back, my former boss came up and talked to him and found out just what it was that he had said. And the individual admitted to saying some inappropriate things.
The Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.
Well, after he admitted to saying those things, I was asked how we should proceed. And I was really baffled by why I was even asked how we should proceed, because in my mind, especially based on some historical occurrences with the company, in my mind, it was a wrap. That guy was done. He did something that was definitely inappropriate, and it warranted some type of sanction. And I didn't think that it was beyond anyone to request his termination. Well, they didn't terminate him. They didn't even suspend him. And I thought that that was horrible. I was completely baffled by this. It just, it, it, having to return to the store and look at my manager's faces as they learned that nothing would happen to him was just, it was very painful for me. It was extremely painful for me. And I didn't have a dog in the fight. I really was hoping that he would remain with the company as he started working for me, that I could show him some tricks that would help him redeem himself because of the tattered relationship that he developed with another manager in another location. And it just, you know, I wanted to see him succeed. But I also understood that sexual allegations, especially when they've been found to be true, that's a big deal. That's a very, very big deal. And, you know, nothing was done. Nothing was done. And to this day, I feel very, very awful about that. Because I know that that individual was never, that situation probably wasn't handled the way that it should have been handled. I do not like to see people lose their jobs on a whim. I hate to see that, guys. But to have seen what I saw, on camera, to read the writings that I saw, that came to me, this was simply unacceptable. And there wasn't an air. It wasn't like it was a boys' club. They didn't just, you know, say, oh, boys will be boys, ha ha, and it goes away. You could tell that a lot of people just felt a huge level of discomfort in having to deal with this situation. So that leads me to this. Even though a lot of men have been innocent, a lot of men are innocent, I definitely believe that. Have we always done what we could do in order to address an issue like this? Now again, guys, I'm not talking about people being complicit. I'm not talking about this gray area as of yet. That's for another time. The question simply is, when we had the opportunity to knock the ball out the park regarding sexual impropriety, have we done so? Have we done that? Have we gotten up to the plate? Have we walked up to the plate and said, you know what? I'm gonna hit the home run on this one, I'm gonna make sure that this is dealt with properly, and it's going to send a message. A lot of us haven't done so, and maybe a lot of us haven't been in a position to do so. And that's what's bothersome to me, is that when I eventually asked for the termination of that manager, I was scolded for asking for his termination. And now that leads me to this. I really, really hate to add more context to this occurrence, but I have to. Especially after I saw some of the comments that I saw about Oprah Winfrey. And especially after I saw another individual speaking specifically to one group of the American population. I have to talk about this. The individual who touched these women inappropriately was an older white man. And I don't think that he did it because he was a white guy. No. I really don't. I think that he did it because, you know, all things being fair, he probably wasn't a very, very nice person. Doesn't matter. Okay? In fact, while I was doing everything to help him save his job, I was also very aware of how difficult he was to get along with. I witnessed it. I saw it. But because I was his boss, he always managed to stay in his lane with me. So it bothered me that these young ladies were treated the way that they were, and nothing happened. But one of the reasons why it bothers me is because there's a little whisper among African American men specifically that this Me Too movement really isn't about black women. And I understand initially why an African American male might feel the need to say something like that, right? I think that there are emotive things involved, and then I think that there are some intellectual reasons for saying that. Again, those things can be discussed elsewhere at a different time. But I think that once we look at the totality of, and once we look at the totality of our presence as African American people in America, the Western Hemisphere, not just North America, black women have been subjected to sexual improprieties for a very, very long period of time. So to say that the Me Too movement isn't really about black women, oh boy, that's a huge, huge statement to make. And I just don't know if we should put our feet in our mouths like that, guys. And the thing I think that I struggle with is, you know, I want to know the how and the why. I'll never know the level of pain that she experienced. I don't know where she is, and I hope that everything is better for her in her life now. But I'll never know. And it sucks. Because you'd like to see some type of justice meted out to these guys. And when I think about, let's just say if she was sitting across from me now, when I think about asking her what happened, you know, a part of me just doesn't really even want to know. Part of me doesn't want to know because, well, I already really know, but another part of me doesn't want to know because it may be too painful for even me to revisit. And I think that there are a lot of guys who can't really allow themselves to feel that type of pain that these women are feeling. I think that it's become commonplace to kind of minimize the suffering of people. And we do it a lot of times before we even try to connect to the suffering of people. You know, we're very, very quick to dismiss pain without assessing the level of it. Even we don't even want to have a conversation. And I think that a lot of us guys, I think we kind of close off a little bit of our humanity by refusing to allow all of our internal systems to work. Okay. Sometimes being empathetic doesn't mean that you have no other thoughts about what took place. And it's okay to say sometimes you don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. But I think, you know, saying you don't understand everything is much better than you sticking your foot in your mouth. It really is. And, you know, I think that if you're a man who has daughters, you're going to have that conversation. You're going to have that conversation. And if you're a guy who has daughters and you're thinking, you know, that something like this could never happen to your daughter, you're wrong. And regarding young people, younger people, African-American people, you know, one of the biggest concerns that a lot of women have today is about dating. If they are single, remarrying, if they have been divorced, they're worried about what type of individual is going to be around their child or their children. They worry about sexual boundaries. Now, again, we can talk about decision making and things of that nature. It's for a different time and place. But I think that we have to understand fear. And a lot of times, we Americans do a very bad job of trying to understand somebody else's fear. We have our own fears, but we refuse to connect to someone else's fear or their concerns. So, in short, in closing, guys, look, I have daughters. Maybe you do. I would suggest sitting down with someone who has had the experience of sexual assault, who's had the experience of sexual abuse, and talk to them as if you were talking to your daughter. Would you assume that your daughter was telling a lie? Would you not want to allow yourself to feel when your daughter comes to you and talks to you about this issue? Would you stick your foot in your mouth if your daughter came to you and revealed something of this nature to you? I really don't think that you would. I don't think that you would. I think that the comfortable thing for a lot of us guys to do is to look at the political correctness that's involved with this movement. I think a lot of us want to look at, you know, the feminist movement and talk about the feminist movement versus the masculinity and things of that nature. But those are intellectual conversations, and they're great. But it's also good to just be able to relate to one another. And I couldn't imagine a guy being married to a woman and that woman saying, well, hey, look, this is what happened to me years ago, and him just throwing it off. It's not okay. So, you know, I also want to say regarding African-American people, look, straight up, guys, we have, as a group of people, we have a very, very bad track record regarding sexual boundaries. We do. If you go into the penitentiaries, if you go into the prisons, you will find countless, countless, countless men who have been found guilty of sexual improprieties towards women, towards men, towards children. And there are others who they may not be in prison, but they have had to register as sex offenders and the like. So we definitely have a problem of sexual boundaries. So trying to say that this is all about white people or this is only about white women is totally factually untrue. And again, I think that that is just one more way for us to cut off the pain that we may have experienced in our own lives. We may be trying to survive by omitting any issues of pain that we have ourselves. Or you could just be a plum jerk. I don't know. But I just wanted to talk about that again. Like I said, I know a lot of people have a lot to say. But I really don't think African-American men specifically are giving due due attention to this. There are a lot of bad things that have happened in our communities regarding sexual boundaries, and we need to have those conversations, seriously. So having said that, I'll let you all go. I know I've probably burned up some ears, but these things need to be said. Okay, maybe later on we'll talk about some of the gray area involving Me Too. And, you know, I do have concerns about sexual allegations where they are false. But that's not what this conversation is about. This is about us really getting in touch with the humanity in ourselves and the realities of our communities. Until next time, we will talk to you.
The Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.